just the Maharaja, and want to thank the shul here for hosting us, and show Shelly mic off. And I want to thank Phil for organizing, giving me the opportunity to speak, and all those who helped organize this program. The little I've heard about the program so far, it's really an amazing opportunity we have to join together as a community to learn Torah together, especially the Iyun of Tefillah, studying about different aspects of Tefillah together. And Mitzvah Hashem, the program should continue to go strong for many years to come. Yisher Koach. The shiur tonight, the title I picked, picking creative titles isn't one of my fortes, but it's actually just a line from the Gemara. And that's the line that I want to explore with you this evening. Many of the ideas I'll share with you are not my own. The many ideas I've heard from one of my rebbeim, from Rabbi Targin of Yeshivat Har Tzion. And I hope to use these ideas to explore with you the concept of tefillah and geula, how they intersect with each other, and hopefully leave with an idea that we can all take with us as we continue to put effort towards that tefillah, and hopefully something a little practical to keep in the back of our minds. I enjoy dialogue, so I encourage questions or comments. I'll try to ask you some questions, pause for questions, so please don't be shy. It's the first time we're learning together, so for some of us, first time we're learning together, so please feel free to ask me to clarify something, to translate words if I use Hebrew. I tried in the source sheets any of the sources I could bring both in Hebrew and English to do that, so we could all follow along and learn together. So we begin with a line in number one. The line comes from Masechet Brachot. Talmud Brachot says as follows. Amar Mar. Mar says, Kore Kriyat Shema Umit Palel. We're talking about the order of davening. Talking about Mariv. We'll see, even though we're talking specifically about Arvit, we're going to go ahead and apply the same rule to Shacharit as well. And Mar says, what's the order? Kore Kriyat Shema. You read Kriyat Shema, including the Brachot before Kriyat Shema and after Kriyat Shema. And then, Umi Palel, then you go on and daven Shmona Esrei. Very simple statement. The Gemara continues. Nesayile l'Rebbe Yochanan. We could bring a proof that this is the correct order of davening. At first you start with Shema, then you go into Tefillah, because there were other positions that held to do it another order, another way. But let's bring a proof that this is the right way to daven, start with Shema, with the Brachot of Shema, and then go to Shmona Esrei. Why? Because we have the statement to Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Izehu ben ha'olam haba. Who is considered a person, a ben ha'olam haba? Who is going to be the one who makes it to the world to come? So if I pause and ask you to fill in the blank, okay, we can think of any examples, one who keeps Shabbat, one who keeps kosher, one who doesn't speak Lashon Hara. Who does the Gemara say is the individual who's going to make it to the world to come? Zeh hasomech ge'ula letzfilah shel arvit. It's the individual who somech, puts together, connects, ge'ula, which here refers to what? When we say ge'ula, specific bracha, which one? Ga'al Yisrael, right? Someone who takes that bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and puts it directly next to tefillah, to davening, Shmona Esrei. Again, here our Gemara says, shel arvit. We know the same thing is true for Shacharit as well. But we take a step back and we're surprised by this Gemara. Right? What bothers us about it? What questions, fundamental questions we have to ask about a Gemara that says, if you want to make it to Olam Haba, all you have to do is say the bracha of Gal Yisrael and then daven Shmon Esrei. What bothers us? That's it. Okay? What is so important about this concept of smicha geula letzvila? That's how the phrase is used. Smicha, the connection between geula and tzvila. That Rabbi Yochanan is willing to come along and say, hey, forget about everything else. All you need to do is say the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, and then daven Shmona Esrei, and you are good to go. So the question is, what happened to everything else? What is it about this bracha, about this idea, that makes it so important? Okay. Second question you could ask, in general, if you take a look at our different emphasis that we have through learning, through the Torah, we don't pay a lot of attention to Olam Haba. Yes, there are some discussions, what is Olam Haba, how do you get to Olam Haba, but in general, our practice is about Olam Hazeh. We keep mitzvot. Of course, there's benefits in the world to come, but we believe it's the best way to live in this world. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the world to come, let's all do it for the next world. Really, we're a nation that's focused on Olam Hazeh, on this world, in terms of the mitzvot and benefit of mitzvot. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to this concept of smicha gula v'tfila, do we pull out the ticket of the world to come? and introduce that here we're focused on Ben Olam Haba, a person who wants to make it to the world to come. So those are the questions we have to ask when we see a line in the Gemara like this. And just to take a step back, what's behind the idea to begin with? Why? Why do we have to be so meich, connect Geula l'tfilah? We have many brachot, many things that we say, and we could connect 100 different things. Even on a simple level, what's behind this notion of connecting Geula l'tfilah? So anytime you have really a statement of Chazal that is a really powerful, out-of-the-box statement, you'll always have a group of Rishonim, the group of the early commentators, that try to calm us down a little bit. I sometimes refer to them as the party poopers. Okay, these are the ones that say, okay, you see something in Chazal that they're talking out of the box, but don't get too overly excited about what they say. And we have such a concept here. If you take a look at number two, this is the Shita Mikubetzet, who's basically going to tell us, okay, the Gemara sounds like everything we just described, but calm down a little bit, don't worry, it doesn't really mean what it seems like it means on the surface. So Shita Mikubetzet says as follows, in number two, V'yesh Lishol, you could ask a question. V'chi mipnei shesomech gula letfila, yeh lo schar kol kach sheyeh ben ha'olam haba? This is our question. Is it possible just because someone is going to connect the bracha of the Al Yisrael to the davening of Shemona Esrei, that's going to give him so much of a reward that he's going to be in the world to come? So he quotes as follows, V'yesh mefarshim, there are those who understand. And just as a side note, the Shita Mikubetzet is a collection of really all these different opinions out there. It's Mikhabetz, means to collect together all the different positions. So he's often, 99% of the time, quoting other positions. So he says as follows, V'yesh mefarshim, there's some who understand the Gemara to mean as follows, Deloshia ben halam haba bedavar zeh bilvad. Okay, don't get too excited. This thing in and of itself alone won't get us the world to come. We can't throw out everything else and just have simicha gula letzvila. Elahachi kamar, so what did the Gemara mean to say? Ezehu ben haolam haba. Who is someone who's going to make it to the world to come? Kol he's here bedivrei chachamim lidatik bahem ulekaiman. Anyone who's going to be very, very particular and exact and specifically pay attention to listen to the words of who? The Chachamim, right? Dirabanans, rabbinic law. Okay? Given already, we're talking about, we fulfill the Doraitas, we fulfill the Torah law, but anyone who's going to be so specific to listen to the words of the Chachamim, to keep the Dirabanans, she'af bizu, that even in this situation, who zahir lismok geula letzvila, afilo balayla. That even in this circumstance, when, as there are other positions that say Marv is a little bit different, and we'll talk a little bit about, there's a kaddish in between geula and tzvila, there's another tzvila in between the two, and therefore you could have suggested that the concept of smicha geula letzvila at night isn't as powerful as in the morning, because in the morning we literally go from Da'al Yisrael to Hashem Svatai Titach and the Shemona Esrei, right? And therefore, if an individual at night is going to hold this concept of smicha gula tzvila and keep all the other rabbinic laws and be exact to follow every single word of the rabbis, okay, that's a person that'll make it to the world to come. So Shita Mikubetz has basically told us there's really nothing special about smicha gula tzvila. Something about this concept per se. This is just an example of a let's just use the words minute rabbinic law, not an unimportant, but a minute rabbinic law. And if you follow even that minute rabbinic law, you'll be an individual who will get to Olam Haba. And that you'll have oftentimes, anytime you come to Gemara, which is really a strong and powerful statement, you'll at least have a group of Rishonim that try to tame it down a little bit, calm down a little bit, let's keep things in perspective. Of course, for us, we're trying to explore this concept of Gula Letzvila, but Shita Mikubetzet doesn't help us very much, because we're looking to really understand the concepts behind why Rabbi Yochanan said, one who somech Gula Letzvila will get to Olam Haba. And for that, we turn to number three, to Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara from the Yerushalmi. And lucky for us, Rashi takes the Gemara from the Yerushalmi, which is a very complicated Gemara, simplifies it for us, so that's why I brought the Rashi who quotes the Yerushalmi instead of going straight back to the source itself. But he says as follows. There's a mashal, a parable that's given, V'aminan b'brachot Yerushalmi. Mi she'eino somech gula l'tfila, l'mahu domeh. What about a person who's not? Someone who doesn't connect geula and tfila. What do we compare him to? What is that individual like? So he tells a little story. Le'ohavo shamelech, to an individual who's loved by the king, Sheba v'dafak apitcho shamelech. So he comes to the castle, gets through the first round of guards, and starts knocking on the door in order to meet the king. Yatza hamelech umatzo shehiflig. So the king comes out and sees, what did the person do? He ran away. So he opened up the door and no one was out there. He heard the bell ring. By the time he got there, it was empty. Nobody was there. So therefore the individual ran away before the king opened the door. Afhu hiflig. So naturally, what would the king do? He opens the door, no one's standing there. Obviously the individual left. So the king leaves and the king goes back to whatever he needs to do. That is someone who is not somech geula v'tfila. Rather, what should an individual do? Ela yihyeh adam mekarev haKadosh Baruch Hu, mekarev haKadosh Baruch Hu ilav. Person has to work to bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu closer to themselves. Umratzeyo b'tishbacho v'klusim shal yitzia mitzrayim, and praise him and appease him with praises and good words and good descriptions of Yitzia Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, and that's how you get to become close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to get a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be close to you. Now, once you have gotten Hashem close to you, now is an opportunity, now is the time we could ask for your needs. So Rashi offers us, the Yerushalmi offers us this mashal. What do we make of it? What does it represent? Someone who knocks on the door and runs away. What does that? What does that represent? Why would someone do that? We all probably did it once or twice in our lives. Well, what does it represent? Someone who knocks on the door and then runs away. Okay, you're embarrassed. You're there's a little fear in there, perhaps. Practical joke. It could also refer to someone along those same lines. Someone who feels unworthy. Okay, I remember when I was studying in Israel. So I studied at Yeshiva at Har Tzion, where the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of the Yeshiva, is Rav Lichtenstein. And the world I came in, the Yeshivas I studied with, so Rav Lichtenstein is known to be, you know, the gadol, the great leader of our generation. So it was a scary experience even going to talk to him. Not that there was even an ounce of Rav Lichtenstein that's mean, but just the experience of standing in front of someone on his level is a scary experience. Mm-hmm. So people used to actually write down questions that they would want to ask him, so you walk up to him, you have it written down, you won't stutter on your words, and it was known which particular place he would daven in Yerushalayim, and if you're able to catch him after Minyan, to walk him back to his house, you could ask him whatever questions you had on your mind. So when I mustered up enough courage after a few months of being there, I tried it, so I had my question ready, I spotted him out, ready to go after davening, walking back to his house, and he got caught up with another individual. And he told me, okay, come back to my house in 15 minutes. So I remember going to his house, his apartment, and trying to knock on the door and just being overcome with the sense of, I'm unworthy to be here. I'm going to take up his time. It just doesn't make sense that I should be able to even stand up and in the presence of an individual and talk to such a person. So it could be the mashal that Rashi's offering us is a fundamental problem, philosophical, theological problem, in tefillah in general. Thank you. Who are we to stand in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu and even talk to him? How can we do it? We're mere mortals. Our Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have to start describing what Hashem is. So how is it even possible that we can stand up and talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu? And maybe that's a mashal. So it's like someone who's not so mekula the tefillah, and we're going to connect the concept in just a moment. You knock on the door, you have to run away before it's opened, because can't be opened by the door. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to open the door and I'm going to be standing there. So the encounter of tefillah in and of itself is this challenging situation that we face. So how does smicha gula tefillah, according to what Rashi is suggesting to us in this mashal, how does it solve the problem? Because it shows there's already a relationship. It shows that there's already parts of a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That there has been a geula that's taken place. We've already left Mitzrayim. There's appreciation we have to what he's done for us. there's a trust that even goes back and forth between what we trust of HaKadosh Baruch and HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts of us. So the only reason why we are able to even encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because it comes in the context of the Geula. We could say there is already an existing relationship between us and we're about to stand before Hashem, and therefore Smicha Geula L'Tzvila tells us we have to take that context and that relationship that was already developed through the Geula and bring it to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if not, who are we to be standing and even asking anything of God? So that's the first approach. One way of understanding the importance behind this idea of Smicha Geula L'Tzvila is to answer the question, how is it possible we can come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, Geula provides a context for us. Provides already an existing relationship that we now can continue and ask questions and dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's approach number one. We'll pause here for any questions or comments before we keep going. Yeah.
They say it's so important to talk in the Hebrew language. I don't even know the Hebrew language. Like, for example, many people will be in the Hebrew. And how can you talk to somebody in a language that you don't understand? That's one question. The way that we do dominating, if we are just reading from the Sefer, shouldn't Talmud be more personal? Because in the Talmud, there are always when people can say, I'm mainly people to say, Baruch, people to say, yeah. There should not be rules when we're dominant.
Two very important questions. Extremely important questions. The second one we might touch on a little bit further down. The first one is, I think the simple answer is that you're allowed to daven whatever language you feel comfortable using. Yes, there is ideal to daven in Hebrew, but I think that one's permitted to daven in any language that they understand. So we ask the question, what's behind this rule of Ga'al Yisrael, Smicha Geula L'Tzvila? And we already threw out one suggestion based on Rashi of what this concept means to us. Okay, now we're up to number two, a second approach to understanding why do we have to connect the Geula, the redemption, to Tzvila? And this starts in number four. Another line from the Gemara says as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Ein omdim li palel lo mitoch atzivut. A person can't stand up to daven if he's very atzuv, he's overcome with sorrow, with grief. Velo mitoch atzilut. And if a person is atzel, is overcome with laziness. Big problem for many of us today. We live in a very lazy type of society. V'lo mitoch tzchok, not through a overjoy and laughter. V'lo mitoch tzicha, and not through different chatters, different types of conversations. V'lo mitoch kalo rosh, and nor through kalo rosh, is acting in a silly manner. V'lo mitoch tzvarim b'teilim, or through different tzvarim b'teilim, talking different nonsense types of talks. Now here's the key line. We said all these things, you cannot stand up to daven if you're in these situations. So how should one daven? Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. One wants to get up to daven. You should daven with the happiness of a mitzvah. What are some examples of simcha shel mitzvah? What comes to your mind when you hear that term? Happiness you get from various mitzvot. Yeah. Okay, so you're feeling happiness on Shabbos, so that's a good context. You're feeling a certain simcha shel mitzvah. You get up and daven through that happiness. Okay, some of the other classic types of mitzvot. You learn from the Torah, you're feeling good about it. Okay, you start davening. You just help someone. You did an act of kindness, of chesed. You come with the right framework to daven. Take a look at Rashi's example number 5. What does he say? Mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Kigon divrei tanchumin shel Torah. From words of nechama, of comfort, of consolation. And then he gives our example, right? Kigon, what's an example of words of comfort, of consolation? Kigon samuch l'geulat Mitzrayim. If you come in the after talking about Yitzia Mitzrayim and being redeemed from Egypt, that provides some divrei nechama, some words of comfort. And Rashi says, that's the example of Simcha Shal Mitzvah that the Gemara is talking about when it says, you should be davening with the happiness of a mitzvah.
When you're in the worst of states, that's when you open up your sitter, and that's when you daven.
Mm-hmm.
You're not happy. You're not rejoicing. You're asking for help. You're saying, here I am, and something awful happens to your life, and you're saying, how does he say that?
Okay, so what does Rashi mean? Rashi's saying that the Geula, exactly the point, Rashi's saying that the Geula, the redemption of Egypt, Yitzhiya Mitzrayim, provides us some type of consolation, some type of comfort.
Hope.
What's that?
Hope.
Hope.
You're standing before God, you call Yisrael, remember what he did for us in the past, and you know there's a chance that we can get some help.
Good, good. And we'll go with that, yeah.
I'm just going to talk in French.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if the Kabbalah says sorrow, is talking about a sort of specific sorrow, which is a mourner who is exempt from a God and
could be, yeah. Yes, some people do point to this as a source that an onane, someone who's in that, you know, that period in between the death and burial, doesn't daven from here. Mm-hmm. So how does the geula give us the sense of hope and the sense of comfort? So this might be a second approach. The second challenge we have, and we're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the challenge is really for us today because we don't really feel it. We don't really feel what it means to have to daven for our lives. We don't really know what it means to daven, not knowing if we're going to survive the rest of the day. The average person, Baruch Hashem, isn't in a situation like that. The average person is in a situation where every day our lives are in danger, and every day we don't know if we're going to have enough food, every day we don't know if the enemies are going to come, and every day we don't know if this is going to be our last day for us. And not being able to have that context when we go ahead and daven is a big challenge for us. And therefore, when we go to daven, there is an anxiety that comes along with it. Okay? Again, don't think about today necessarily because we don't feel that. But if you think back through our history, every day tefillah was really when we were asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us and our lives would be able to continue and we would be able to get through another day. Whether it's through the food we needed or the protection we needed. And therefore, going into daven was an anxiety-provoking situation to put ourselves in. And it was challenging. And therefore, what is Rashi telling us? Rashi's telling us we specifically put smicha gu'ula l'tfila exactly to bring that hope to us. To bring a little bit of a sense of nechama. Why? Because look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us in the past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us when we needed the gu'ula from Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped us in times of need. And therefore, it's a two-part context we need to put ourselves in. First of all, we have to get to the point where we feel that anxiety, we have to feel that really when we daven, we're really davening for our lives and for the important things in life. And then what the Geula does is bring us a little bit of divrei nechama, a little bit of comfort. To know that as challenging as the situation we're in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been for us in the past, Ga'al Yisrael, he's redeemed us from Egypt. And come with that perspective, with that little divrei nechama, that's a second approach to understanding of what it means, smicha gu'ula l'tfila.
But there are situations that we do have that anxiety today, as far as personal situations, things that you go through, and you're asking Hashem for help for, I'm talking about serious things.
Mm-hmm.
My son went through, Baruch Hashem, he's fine, but at one point when he was little, he had cancer, and we went through, it was very anxiety. So we're not in the same situations that, you know, through history, like, you know, but those anxiety-provoking are there also. It's not that, you think you live in a world where everything is easy today, but it's not necessarily so.
Right.
You do have those, you know, depending on circumstances, there's that anxiety.
Thank you, 100%. 100%. And therefore, the role of smicha gula tefillah would be to bring a little divrei nechama. That, so we're in challenging situations, personal challenging situations, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who redeemed us from Mitzrayim. We've been through a geula, a redemption with him already. And I would suggest that if someone is not in that situation, Baruch Hashem, that everything is going well, we need to still put ourselves in the context of that situation. Let me give you an example. There's a famous debate. Is the mitzvah to daven a mitzvah midoraita or midorabanan? Is it a Torah mitzvah or a rabbinic law? What do you say? What do you think? Okay, doraita. Anyone disagree? Okay, anyone want to take derabanan? Okay, exactly. The answer to those questions is always it's a machloket, it's an argument. Okay, so the Rambam is known for saying that the mitzvah to daven is from the Torah. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says no, it's only midrabanan, unless you're in a situation of sha'at sekana, when you're in a serious danger. Okay. Now, what many of the Achronim suggest for us to do is not, God forbid, put ourselves in the situation of sekana, but to understand that, you know, really, every time we daven, we are davening for our lives. And every time we're davening, we take it for granted that we have a day after day after day. Right? But if we can come from the context of the Ramban, that really we're davening and we feel as though it's a shat sakana, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us one more day, we've now taken our tefillah from a rabbinic mitzvah up to a deraita, according to all opinions. So that's the second way of understanding smicha geula litzvila. And I want to suggest to you one more, yeah?
Having trouble with the word smicha.
Okay.
How about the word obligation? Why rejoice?
Wait, I'm sorry, you're having trouble with which word? Simcha?
Simcha. You're still rejoicing in the performance. No, you're doing it because you're calling out your life. You're saying, I'm in this horrible situation, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking Hashem to allow me to live one more day. Mm-hmm. And I don't call that rejoicing in the performance of the religious act. I call that obligation. I don't see simcha. I see mitzvah, I see whatever the word for hope might be, but not mm-hmm. rejoice is a happiness.
Right. So I would tell you, I don't think rejoice is a proper translation of simcha. Right? I mean, that's a whole topic of discussion of itself. Simcha really represents a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We're most happy when we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps that's what the Divrei Tanchumin is coming to do, to tell us that you have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have this redemption from Mitzrayim. When you go to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep that in the back of your mind through the smicha gula litzvila. Was there another? Okay, the third approach is as follows. It's based on idea from Rabbi Soloveitchik. And just to take a step back, Rabbi Soloveitchik often taught, and I never met Rabbi Soloveitchik, when I say taught, not because I heard him teach, but many of my Rebbeim who were his Talmidim have passed down many of his teachings, that it's extremely, extremely important for us to really fully live as an observant Jew, to have an understanding of Jewish history. And that affects so many different things. It affects appreciation of where we are today. It affects appreciation of various mitzvot. It affects appreciation of the halachic system. We can't come and think that history has always been like it is in 2010. And we just had last week in our shul, we had a debate between the candidates running for Congress. Thank God it was a well-attended debate. About 800 people from the Jewish community showed up to hear the two candidates talk. And one point I just tried to bring out before the debate is for us to take a step back and recognize that two candidates come to a shul and really discuss with each other and debate each other who's more pro-Israel and who should the Jewish community like better. This is something we've never had in Jewish history. What we're living today is really something we've never experienced before. And it's crucial to always have an understanding of Jewish history to live as Jews, to live as observant Jews today. And Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed to this this parsha in Sefer Devarim, in number 8. It's a parsha of Bikurim. When one brings the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, up to the Kohen. And we're not going to go through the whole parsha right now, but some of it sounds familiar to us, because we recite it every year during the Pesach Seder. If you just jump to Pasuk Gimel, Uvata al HaKohen asher yeh b'yamim ahim. So here you are, you're a farmer in the land of Israel, you've gotten your first crops, you now bring it up to the Beit HaMikdash. These bikurim represent, really, a type of tefillah, almost. It's a type of korban, a type of sacrifice. And the connection between korbanot, sacrifice, and tefillah is a very close connection. And on some level, the Bikurim that's coming up represents almost a prayer. Okay? And take a look how it continues. V'amarta ilav, now you're giving the fruits to the Kohen Gadol, and you say as follows, Higadetzi ayom Hashem Elokecha, kibati ala aretz asher nishba Hashem avotinu latilanu. I'm so grateful that we're finally here in the land of Israel, the land that Hashem promised to give to us. Now you give the basket of fruit to the Kohen, and we continue in Pasuk Hey. Ve'anita ve'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, the person says the following passage. And this should certainly ring a bell for us. Arami oved avi vayeved mitzrayma, vayagar sham im tema'at, vayisham legor gadol atzum varav. And we continue with the history of going into Yitzhak, going into Mitzrayim, the fact that we are slaves in Egypt, and the fact that we are now being redeemed, and we've screamed out to Hashem, and Hashem has answered our tefillah, and Hashem has taken us out of Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Saladichik pointed this, to this passage, where a farmer goes up to the Kohen Gadol, and offers this Bikurim, and offers some type of tefillah, but does it in the context of history. Does in the context of repeating what exactly happened to the nation of Bnei Yisrael as we went into Mitzrayim, what happened to us in Mitzrayim, and finally we're here, we made it to the land of Israel and able to bring these Bikurim, these first fruits, up to the Beit HaMikdash. And he said, to just simply go and give fruits, yes, that would have been a mitzvah, would have been a good thing. But to be able to do that in the context of understanding the history of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what happened to us during the Shibud Mitzrayim, being slaves in Egypt, and now, finally, at the end of the process, we're in Israel, we're coming up to the Kohen Gadol, Eino Doma Zelazeh, you can't compare the two situations. And therefore, perhaps Smicha Gula, the Tefillah, what Rabbi Saladichik suggested, was to give us a perspective of history before we go and we daven. To give us a perspective of the Geula, of what happened to us in the past, where we are now, to give us a certain perspective, and to let us know that when we daven, we're not davening for ourselves. I'm not coming to ask Hashem for my needs. When I do that, I'm saying I need my needs because I'm part of Jewish history. I'm part of the nation of Bnei Israel that's lived generation after generation. We're on a mission that Hashem gave us to function in the world. If I don't have a parnasa, I can't fulfill my responsibilities as part of Am Yisrael. If I don't have refuah, if I don't have good health, I can't be part of this long line, this Mesorah, generation after generation, to be able to fulfill what our purpose is as part of Am Yisrael. So the third approach of understanding Smicha Gula Tzvila is to understand history, to understand where we've been in the past, and to understand when we ask for things, even though it seems like, on the one hand, I'm being a little selfish because it's for me, but it's not for me to make me happy. It's for me to continue the role that Am Yisrael has had throughout the generations, and to continue our history and what we're supposed to be fulfilling in this world.
Why would we pick that specific geula? Why wouldn't
we pick other things? So, you could suggest two things. Either of everything, we know how monumental Yitzhak Mitzrayim is. So many mitzvot we do is Zecher Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So that's such a monumental event in our history. But even further than that, what that represents isn't only that one event. What that represents is Jewish history. We say Jewish history to describe it through the redemption of Egypt, but what that refers to, what that means, is having an understanding not only of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but of all of Jewish history. That would just be like an example, but that plus everything else. Okay, so I want to close by suggesting a whole other approach to understanding Smicha Gula V'Tzvilah. What we saw so far is three perspectives of what it means, the importance behind connecting Geula to Tefillah. We said one approach is either because we're afraid, who are we to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Geula represents a certain relationship that exists. The second is we're so, you know, scared, or so much anxiety going into asking something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore Geula says, Divrei Tanchumen, calms us down a little bit, Hashem has answered us in the past, gives us hope in order to be able to continue with Tefillah. Or third, we have to have an understanding of Jewish history and where we've been in order to really appropriately go and ask things from Hashem. All of those approaches suggest that the rule of Smicha Geula L'Tefillah means that we are using the Geula in order to enhance our Tefillah. All those suggest that it's really Smicha Geula L'Tefillah. The whole point is to get to a good Tefillah, and the Geula is simply there, based on these different reasons, to help provide the proper way to get to an appropriate Tefillah. But you could suggest that this rule, Smicha Geula L'Tefillah, isn't focused on the Tefillah, but rather is focused on l'geula. And it's really simicha geula l'tzfila. That tzfila somehow helps us really understand and appreciate the geula. I think we can see an approach like that in number 9. This is in Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. I apologize for the print, it's small. I will read and translate as we go along. It says as follows. Yesh lomar, v'chi mipnei shesomech geula l'tzfila, yesh lo schar kol kashya ben olam haba? So Rabbeinu Yonah starts off with a question that we've been asking since the beginning. What is it about this mitzvah that's so important? How is this a ticket to olam haba? Now we suggested already answers of why smicha geula l'tzfila is an important concept. We haven't answered why that makes you ben olam haba. That Rabbeinu Yonah will connect the dots for us. The reason why we are entitled to such a great reward, when Hashem redeemed us, the fact that we were taken out of Mitzrayim and we were saved and we were redeemed automatically means that we should be slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we understand what Geula really means, then we are indebted our entire life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a slave. And by the way, just as a side note, this notion of being a slave is very much connected to tefillah. Right? Oftentimes we think of tefillah as an upbeat type of experience, but there's an aspect of tefillah that we're literally slaves standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a story that those who knew Rav Moshe Feinstein, I never met him or seen him or knew him, but they say that when he davened, he didn't move an inch. He didn't sway, he didn't go back and forth, nothing with his hands, he didn't move an inch. Why? So they asked him why. Because he said the most frightful moments he ever had in his life was when he was being interrogated by, I don't remember by who, but when he was being interrogated, right? That was the most fearful moment he had in his life. And they made him stand still and not move an ounce. What's that? So he took that moment of being that indebted to other people and being that type of slave, so to speak, and translated that to tefillah. Because when we daven, we're also slaves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it was a fearful experience. He didn't move an ounce when he davened because of this notion that aspect of tefillah, we are also slaves standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, really, if Hashem redeemed us and took it out of Mitzrayim, then we are literally slaves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnei Amari brings a pasuk, Avadayim asher seti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. We are slaves, that's what the Torah says explicitly. Ubebircha ka'al Yisrael, maskir b'hachesed shasa imanu haborei. When we say the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, we recall the chesed, the great kindness Hashem did for us, v'hatzvila hi ha'avoda. And davening is what the Torah calls avodah. And he quotes a pasuk, "Davadetam et Hashem lokeichem zohi tefillah." When we worship Hashem, when we work for Hashem, that is tefillah. Ukeshehu maski yitziat Mitzrayim, umipalel miyad. When a person talks about the geula, says Ga'al Yisrael, and immediately following Ga'al Yisrael, you immediately go to daven. What is that showing? Miad Moresh Shikomo Sha'evet Shikone Oto Rabo Chayev Lasot Mitzvat Rabo. We are showing that we are completely indebted and servants and slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an important idea in of itself. That we daven after Ga'al Yisrael and we are standing in a situation, in a context where we're slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The important point according to Rabbeinu Yonah is that tefillah is next to Geula, not to help the tefillah, but to help us understand the context of Geula and what Geula means. How do we appreciate redemption? If we live through redemption, it doesn't have any effect on us, then we haven't appreciated redemption. We haven't understand the chesed that Hashem has done for us. We're simply going about our lives and taking for granted everything that Hashem has given to us. But if we have smicha geula v'tfila, and we mention the redemption of Ga'al Yisrael, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us by redeeming us from Mitzrayim, and then we immediately go to become a slave and daven Shmona Esrei, then that means that we understand what Geula is about and what the redemption is about. Because redemption is a wonderful process, but also a dangerous process. Because redemption means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has elevated us, has done something for us. We even in certain ways partnered with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those who understand Medina Yisrael as being a part of the context of redemption, and now is not the time to talk about that idea fully, But there are dangers that come along with that. Because now we have Israel. Now Hashem has told us, he's returned to us, we've returned to Hashem. And the danger is that we can become a little bit lax in our avodah, in understanding how we're slaves to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what tefillah does is it puts the geula in a proper context, that we understand what Hashem has given to us in our past, in our history. But now that immediately follows by us davening and showing how we're avadim, slaves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that shows us we understand what geula is about. That shows us we understand that we're now indebted to Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He's given us from the redemption. And I'll suggest a final thought. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm sorry, just one more line here. He says, the first of the long lines, the kivan shemakir shehu abdo mipnei shega'alanu va'oser ritzono mitzvotav. When we mention, when we understand that we are His slaves because we're now going to daven, and we are going to follow His will and His commandments, nimsa sheba'avur zeh zocheh v'chayei ha'olam haba. It is because of that aspect, to understand that we're indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're slaves to Him, that makes one worthy to get to the world to come. That's such an important idea, that if you understand that idea, you're a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you keep His commandments, it's not only about this mitzvah of smicha gula l'tfila, but that gives us the proper appreciation, affects us in a way that the Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says that we are ben olam haba, that will give us a ticket to the world to come. But if you just think about it for a moment, maybe when Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Izu ben olam haba, the one who's going to be get an entrance ticket to the world to come, is one who's somech gula l'tfila, we start asking a question. Well, we don't put such emphasis on olam haba, on the next world, what's going to happen over there. We really have emphasis in this world in olam hazeh. And even when Yochanan said, who is a ben olam haba, he wasn't referring to the world to come. Maybe he was referring to olam hazeh. Who is a person that has a certain appreciation or lives a certain life of the world to come while still in this world? And maybe the idea is a smicha gula tefila, the idea is that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea that we have an appreciation of our history, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. The idea that the anxiety because everything relies in the hands of Hashem, Nasmicha Gula Tfila brings Divrei Tanchumen for us to be able to even step up to Hashem and ask for things. Those ideas and concepts represents a person living their life understanding that it's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our lives are in Hashem's hands. That's what Olam Haba is, in one way, all about. Olam Haba is about the fact that there is an existence in this world, completely spiritual, completely where we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe we have Yochanan telling us, who is a Ben Olam Haba, who can get some of that world in this world? Those who are Somei Ge'ula L'Tfila. Those who understand the concepts behind bringing and connecting the Ge'ula and the redemption to our Tfila. So hopefully with this, the ideas with our tefillah, not only will be the Ga'al Yisrael, the Gula that happens, but also the next Gula, the Gula Richta, the final Gula with the coming of Mashiach. And here Rabbi Aminu.